Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. An exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Welcome back to the Modern Yogi Podcast. We are on episode number
134.
Okay. Excellent.
Right. Nice. What's your name?
My sweet, sweet cherubs. I literally learned that word on the weekend and I was like, now I'm going to say cherubs all the time. I didn't know what a cherub was.
Really?
It's a tiny little naked baby angel.
Yeah.
I guess probably I shouldn't be calling you guys that, but it's like a nice thing.
That's cute.
No, it's definitely like my angel kind of.
I heard a rich white lady say it and I was like, now I'm going to say it all the time. Anyways, my name is Shamasgita.
My name is Priyadarshini.
And I'm Shamali.
Very nice.
Oh, and we are on chapter 18, the final chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, and we are on text number 48. Oh my God.
Oh, wow. Oh
my goodness. We're like so close to finishing. This is wild.
I can't believe it. I still can't.
Oh my God.
It makes me nervous.
So last episode, we talked a little bit about a couple of things. Happiness and the different ways it shows in mode of passion and ignorance, because we had discussed goodness previously. And then we started talking about people's occupation and what roles they fit in. So brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudras. And how, what each of those
their qualities are
yeah. for each of those, what? For each of those...
Occupations.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Occupations. And so we learned a little bit about that. And one thing that we left on was this idea that it is better to imperfectly perform your own duty than to excel in another's duty.
So good.
Yeah. And the example that I love is like a gifted artist, right? They might struggle to make a living, but they find fulfillment in that work, right? But if that artist chooses to be a lawyer just to please others, they might succeed externally, but very, very, they feel miserable inside. And so.
Yeah.
If God had wanted you to be someone else, he would have made someone else.
That's real.
Yeah.
That's so real.
And also this idea of like, perfection in terms of getting back to Godhead and becoming a better version of ourselves and, you know, working on our relationship to Krishna. All of that comes when one can perform our prescribed duty according to our natures, right? Like just be yourself and continue, even if you're not great at it at first, right? It's okay. Just keep doing that because that's what Krishna's saying is the path to success here.
Yeah.
So that was kind of where we left off. Anything else you guys want to add
no, to this? Good. The invocation, please, ladies.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Sharakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Translation. I was born in the darkest ignorance and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them. All right. Chapter 18, text number
48. Every endeavor is covered by some fault, just as fire is covered by smoke. Therefore, one should not give up the work born of his nature. O son of Kunti, even if such work is full of fault.
This is kind of nice because Krishna's basically saying everyone makes mistakes. You still just still do your thing.
Everyone makes mistakes. Just do your thing.
Everyone makes mistakes. Just do your thing.
Your thing is better than other one's things. Just do your thing.
That was perfect.
So close.
Excellent. No, but your thing is better than other one's things. You know? That works on so many levels.
Basically, our podcast is a
don't touch anyone else's things. Just do your own thing.
Our podcast is basically improv. It's a constant improv.
I was really close. So it was great.
So close
excellent.
To perfection, but you were doing your thing. So that's all that matters.
Yeah, I'll only do my thing.
Only do your thing.
Oh my goodness.
That's true. That's what Krishna's saying. It's like everyone is going to make mistakes, but just because you are making mistakes and you're doing what you're needing to be doing. No.
What is happening?
You're doing what needs to be done and you're doing your own work and the work that you're meant to be doing. Don't give it up just because you are making mistakes.
Yeah. And also not just you might be making mistakes, but I think also if I'm understanding correctly and you guys can clarify, but it's also saying that all work has faults. So like there is no perfect job, right? Mm-hmm. So, but we should not abandon it.
And no perfect worker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No perfect worker, no perfect job.
Exactly. I think the way to also interpret this for for Arjuna's perspective is Krishna's trying to prepare him for the difficult task that lies ahead of him, you know, because he's trying to amp himself up for fighting against his relative. So he's preparing him by saying, okay, distress in this world is inescapable. That's just fundamentally a part of this world. Distress is going to be there no matter what you do, where you are, in so many different forms. And when something unpleasant happens to us, it's difficult, but we just need to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there was a little commentary on this particular text 48 that divided into three different types of distresses and Arjuna's is in the hardest category because the first type is when something painful happens to us. Okay. We just have to accept it and move on. Mm-hmm. The second type of distress, which is even worse, something painful happens to us that obstructs our duty, but then we have to endure the pain and continue to do our duty. And then the last one, which is what Arjuna's predicament is, we are duty bound to do something that will be painful for our loved ones. And we have to endure the pain and that we feel and that we cause and still persist in our duty. And that's Arjuna's situation, having to fight against Bhishma and Drona.
Okay, so say the three again in the shortest way possible. So the first one is?
Something painful happens to us, you know.
Okay, number two?
Something painful happens to us that doesn't allow us to do our duty.
And number three?
When we are duty bound to do something that's painful to those we love and we have to do it anyway and feel our own feelings and feel the feelings that we're causing to others. And that's Arjuna's situation.
This is complex.
It's complex. And Krishna is just preparing him. Like there's going to be suffering.
Yeah.
You have to walk through it now.
Wow. So basically if you yourself are in any of the situations, right? In the, say the first one again, my brain just blanked.
Yeah. The first one is just the first level. Something painful happens to us.
Yeah. Something painful happens to you. You got to keep on doing your duty. Something painful happens that makes your everyday work harder. You just got to keep going, right? Yep. And then something painful happens that not only affects everything else we just discussed, but it also affects people you love. Mm-hmm. You got to keep going anyways.
Oof. That's so hard.
Oh, that's so tough.
Yeah, definitely. It's one great challenge that I think many people have had experienced in life, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we've all gone through something, if not many somethings.
That's true.
Oof. Many, many somethings. By the time you continue life, you're just so tired. It's like, take me off the strong warrior list for next year. Little things.
Make me more administrative role. You know? I just want to work in the back and type some things.
You're like, I don't want to be a main character anymore.
Just
make me an extra.
Yeah.
Show up every now and then.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's good.
So, and all we can do is just be prepared. So in a way, this text, he's preparing Arjuna and we're also preparing ourselves. That you can escape distress, whether you go here or there, it's gonna follow.
Yeah,
that's helpful. I mean, just understanding this is helpful so that when you are in distress, you're not thinking, why me? Why does this happen? What do I do? But to have this foundational knowledge is so helpful because then you can be like, okay, this happens to everyone and it's tough, but I can keep going.
Yeah.
Right. Just having that knowledge.
Yeah.
There's this one part so the first line is every endeavor is covered by some fault, right? Just as fire is covered by smoke. I like that Prabhupada says, okay, although fire is pure, there is still smoke. Yet smoke does not make the fire impure.
Right.
And so I think that's important for us to remember, like just because bad things can happen or we get hurt or like other people get hurt or we're making mistakes when we're doing our job, it doesn't make our job impure.
And
it doesn't make ourselves impure as well.
It's giving yourself grace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Someone told me recently, someone I really care about, they said, hey, you need to do things in leadership. And he said, and just know that you will make mistakes, but just keep doing it. And it was really out of nowhere too. And I was like, oh, okay. I will take this and remember it because I'm not really in a position of leadership right now.
But you could be. You are a very good leader.
Thank you.
Yes.
I appreciate that. And I do love that role.
And you will definitely make mistakes. This person knows you very well.
They know me very well. Yeah. And we all make mistakes, but it doesn't mean that we cannot continue our endeavor. It does not mean we cannot continue, you know, like our work. So definitely.
Yeah. The next part, Shama, after that example of the fire and smoke that you read, that's very on point. Basically, the conclusion is that in the material world, nothing and no one can be completely free from the contamination of material nature. It's just a predicament of what surrounds us. Mm-hmm. It's there. It's going to happen. We're in the age of Kali Yuga. So
yeah, nothing is perfect. And I think that's the premise here, right? Nothing is perfect.
Drat
Kali Yuga. It's kind of like nice to like have Krishna say that, actually. It's kind of nice to be like, hey, you're going to screw up and it's going to be okay. Yeah. Just keep going. You know?
Yeah. Just keep swimming.
Oh. That's it.
Yeah. And at the end, it taps back into, we talked about that determination. So instead of letting us completely disturb us, just continue with total determination to want to serve Krishna. Mm-hmm. And then that's, you will be perfect, even if you're not actually perfect.
Mm. Yeah.
Very sweet.
Mm. All right, text 49.
Yes.
Okay. Shama Sangeeta.
All right, Krishna says, one who is self-controlled and unattached and who disregards all material enjoyments can obtain by practice of renunciation the highest perfect stage of freedom from reaction.
One more time.
Love it. Yes, one more time. Okay, Krishna says, one who is self-controlled and unattached and who disregards all material enjoyments can obtain by practice of renunciation the highest perfect stage of freedom from reaction.
Mm.
So, okay, what's the goal here? The goal is to not have karma, right? The highest perfect stage of freedom from reaction. So like not have good karma, not have bad karma. And that's the way we get back to Krishna, mm-hmm. right? So the highest perfect stage of reaction is like not having any more karma. Yeah. So how do we do that? You need to be self-controlled. You need to be unattached. You need to not be, not have want. Like want sense enjoyment or material enjoyment.
Right.
Yeah. There's one line here that Prabhupada says, a sannyasi. So because this is talking about the practice of renunciation, right? And we talked mm-hmm. about sannyasis and that they are renunciants.
Right.
And so a sannyasi is supposed to be free from the reactions of his past activities, meaning that they don't have karma affecting them because their purpose is singular. Their purpose mm-hmm. is Krishna. They are not attached.
They might have karma affecting them, like in terms of like...
Supposed to. I mean, yeah, okay. The word supposed to means that there's room for...
Got it. Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. So a sannyasi is supposed to be free from reactions of his past activities. But a person who is in Krishna consciousness automatically attains this perfection without even accepting the so-called order of renunciation.
That's so reassuring,
right? Yeah. We had this whole conversation of, maybe feeling we might not ever get there because we've been dealt sets of cards in this mm-hmm. life that we can never give up everything. Right. No worries. You'll still live a perfect life.
Yeah, basically Prabhupada and Krishna are saying, you know, the mindset helps.
Right.
The Krishna conscious mindset, letting go of everything else, not being attached to the results and just serving Krishna can get you the same thing.
Exactly. It's a mentality. It's an internal consciousness.
Yeah. So that was really kind of nice way to summarize that. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. By the way, text 49 all the way to 55, it's clustered under Jnana Yoga with Bhakti offered to Krishna.
Mm. So knowledge with bhakti offered to Krishna, with love offered to Krishna.
Right.
Interesting. Okay. Text 50.
Yeah.
Shamli.
O son of Kunti, learn from me how one who has achieved this perfection can attain to the supreme perfectional stage, Brahman, the stage of highest knowledge, by acting in the way I shall now summarize.
Oh, one more time, please.
O son of Kunti, learn from me how one who has achieved this perfection can attain to the supreme perfectional stage, Brahman, the stage of highest knowledge, by acting in the way I shall now summarize.
The purport says, the Lord describes for Arjuna how one can achieve the highest perfectional stage simply by being engaged in his occupational duty, performing that duty for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna.
Yeah. The one-liner here is, reaching perfection through duty, one attains the highest knowledge and Krishna's divine abode.
Mm.
So as long as we're doing our duty and we're doing it nicely, we can reach Krishna.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Sweet, sweet.
Okay. What's Krishna about to summarize?
I know. I love those. I'm like, just tell us, Krishna.
Yeah, just let us know. Text 51 all the way to 57, clumped together.
53?
No, 51, sorry. 53.
Wow. Yeah, 53. I don't know.
It's all right. Okay.
Is that me?
Priyadarshini.
Yeah, I think it's me.
You.
Yes. You're good. You're good.
I just read. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's happening.
No, you know, it's the last chapter and we're getting senioritis. We're grade 12.
I don't know if it's senioritis, but there's definitely a mood in the air of like not wanting to finish, but being so curious to continue on, and a sense of, wow, what's happening? It's going so fast.
It's a lot of emotions.
It's a lot going on.
It's a lot of emotions in chapter 18.
Thank you guys for being here still.
Where would we go?
Well, I wasn't just thanking you and Shamali.
I was thinking, I got nothing else to do this weekend. No, I'm joking.
The people on the other side.
Thank you for being here with us, listeners.
Yeah.
So much.
Okay. Text 51 through 53. Being purified by his intelligence and controlling the mind with determination, giving up the objects of sense gratification, being freed from attachment and hatred, one who lives in a secluded place, who eats little, who controls his body, mind, and power of speech, who is always in trance, and who is detached, free from false ego, false strengths, false prides, lust, and anger, and acceptance of material things, free from false proprietorship, and peaceful, such a person is certainly elevated to the position of self-realization.
Mm. Okay, so I didn't even know what you were listing and why you were listing it.
One at a time, and then you give you an example so we can remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so what are we trying to achieve right now? Self-realization.
Yep. People who can do all of these do Krishna.
Krishna, right? Like being with Krishna.
Yes.
And that, and self-realization is good, yes?
So yes, self-realization means understanding all the information which is read in the Bhagavad Gita fully and living your life based on it.
Okay, so we need to follow all of these things in the checklist.
Yes. You ready for them again?
Yes. Okay, just to confirm, self-realization, good.
Good.
Good. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
The things he was describing starting from text 49, he's talking about how a person reaches this highest perfectional stage of freedom from reactions. Then text 50 about how we reach that supreme perfectional stage of highest knowledge. And then he's about to summarize how to do all of that that we've just talked about.
Okay, perfect. What's the checklist?
Let's go. Purified by his intelligence.
So being knowledgeable.
Being purified by his intelligence.
I think using your intelligence to govern your actions rather than just
your mind
diving
and your
into things. Like, let me think about this carefully. Yeah.
Using your intelligence to become a better person. It's like how I would perceive it too. Like getting this knowledge and applying it to become a better version. Cause it's like being purified, right? Like becoming cleansing your heart.
Applying it is the key word that you said, right? We can read it all day, but if we just read it and we don't apply it, then it's useless.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Controlling the mind with determination.
Remember we talked about determination and the mode of goodness?
Ooh.
Controlling the mind with determination.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, because the mind is so strong and we can give in to any whim, but have determination to resist it.
Yeah. And I think this is important for like having moments of your day to chant and to be with Krishna, to do your japa, to learn how to control the mind, to every time it wanders away when you're chanting a mantra, bring it back. And if it happens to do that 108 times, that's okay. But as long as you're bringing it back from whenever it's wandering and doing that with determination and not giving up.
Mm. Okay, next one. Giving up the objects of sense gratification.
It's a hard one.
Give up the Maya, man.
Give up the Maya, man.
Yeah.
The things that you're doing just to please your senses, the things that feel good in the moment, but maybe don't feel so great later.
Will be poison at the end.
And sense gratification is really fun. I know. It is. It's so much fun. But there's no end to it, right?
And maybe you could think of it as a sliding scale. Like if you're doing so much for sense gratification, maybe like limit it to something a little better in sense gratification or a little less each time a week.
Everything in moderation.
And that's the process, right? That's why this is like full, like getting to self-realization. That's why it says giving it up, right? That's that's when you've reached. But like, obviously we're all a work in progress.
We're working on it.
Yeah. Okay. Being freed?
Freed.
Okay. Being freed from attachment and hatred.
That's a big one.
Yeah. Right.
It's because we all have egos and we all have attachment to things. And then we associate so much with this body and the emotions of this body, and hatred can be such a strong emotion that comes up. But it is such a dangerous emotion.
Yeah, I think for me, attachment is a bit stronger than hatred.
I was about to say the same. I was about to ask you guys, do you feel hatred?
I don't know, but like, I'm just trying to say like the things that are connected to the ego. Like, yeah, I don't feel hatred on a daily basis.
My enemies.
But like, I think attachment to a certain ego and attachment to people, places, people. Things.
Totally. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. People, comforts. Feel.
Yeah.
Like my home. Mm. A lot of things are very comforting to know that I have them, that I'm attached to them.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one.
Which is so interesting that you mentioned that. Because the next one is one who lives in a secluded place.
Yeah. So, okay, one who lives in a secluded place. Do you think this is also a bit of a mindset thing? Like the peaceful lifestyle?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to live in a secluded place.
Especially sometimes. In Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially in Los
Not
Angeles.
Not practical.
Yeah.
Who eats little.
Okay. Sounds good.
That's relative. Sure. Okay. Who controls his body, mind, and power of speech.
That's a big one.
Mm. You are not letting your mind reel. Rel?
Right.
What is
spiral?
That?
Rel. No, it's spiral.
Spiral. I was like, what's the word?
Thank you. Don't let your mind rel.
Rude. Don't let your mind spiral. Not letting our bodies waste away and dictate everything that we whimsically want.
Yeah.
And then not saying anything that just comes to our mind.
That's a big one. Yeah.
That is
a big one.
Yeah. Next one. Who is always in trance?
Yeah.
And who is detached? I don't think those two are connected, but I think in trance can mean like
in a meditative state, right? Yeah. Through your sadhana.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone who's in trance is like almost intoxicated, like with Krishna, like, like just always thinking about Krishna. Mm. I don't know if that's a good description. Okay. Free from false ego.
That's a big one.
That is a big one. Don't they say like, when you get to the highest stage, the ego is the last thing to go. Like when you've reached the highest level of perfection, it's the ego is really what roots us in this world. And the ego is the hardest thing.
Makes sense. So how you identify yourself is the ego. So like, you know, how great you think you might be or smart or funny or interesting or intellectual or whatever the concept might be.
Yeah. Prabhupada said, who is not falsely proud.
Mm-hmm. Yep. False strength. I'm not sure what that one means. Like faking it? Like I'm so great? False strength.
Well, I think it's... Well, go ahead.
Maybe like pretending to be in a position that you're not.
Yeah.
That or in the purport, he says right after false ego, because he does not accept the body of himself, then Prabhupada says, nor... has he a desire to make the body fat and strong by accepting so many material things?
Oh, interesting.
Because okay, he has so no bodily conception of life.
So no overindulgence.
Right, right.
Interesting. False pride was the one you just mentioned, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What do you think false pride means?
I am the person that did all of this.
Yeah.
I am the greatest. I made it all the way to the top. It was all me. Me, 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 me.
Yeah. Lust. And I think it means desire.
Right. Desire. Anger.
Anger. And these are all things that they're free from.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah,
not the things we strive
you
for.
You should be lusty and angry. It's like we need to be free from lust and anger. Okay.
Yeah. And acceptance of material things. So free from the acceptance of material things.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Free from false proprietorship.
I own this. Right. I own this.
This is mine.
Is my, I own this her. Is, I own him.
This is my best friend. This is my pet. This is my cup.
Yep.
In a practical level, that is very difficult to constantly remember. I don't own any of this. Not even the people I love.
You think you own the people you love?
I was thinking from a parent's perspective. Like, these are my children. I have ownership of them.
Yeah, in that sense.
Well, I'm not a parent
yet.
That
was just funny.
I own my partners and my friends. No.
No, especially for parents, I think you're right. Yeah. I think parents have a really hard time letting go of that. Mm-hmm. I always talk to my mom and she like does things for my brother. And I was like, you need to let it go. She's like, you won't know until you're a mom. Like, this is my son. I need to do this. I'm like, wow, that proprietorship is real. I didn't say that to her because that's a weird way to phrase it. But that proprietorship of like owning things, right?
Yeah. No, even my grandmother, she would be like, I don't know if your dad's eating enough, so I'm making him a meal here and there. Like that's, you know.
Yeah. Sweet also.
It's very really sweet for sure. But, it, you know, my father is a, if I'm an adult, what is my father? You know what I mean?
Right.
Grande adult.
Very good. Muy bien.
Okay, the next one is and peaceful. What? Free from false proprietorship and peaceful. Okay.
I think you should be peaceful.
Yeah.
Free from peace.
Be distressed.
Such a person is certainly elevated to the position of self-realization.
Mm.
Oof.
Okay. That's the checklist.
Prabhupada says, when one is free from the material conception of life, he becomes peaceful and cannot be agitated.
God, sounds amazing.
Yeah, it does sound amazing.
Yeah, I would love that.
Yeah.
Quality.
There's a nice example. Prabhupada says, a person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled, but is always still, can alone achieve peace and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. So, right, desires will still be there. The rivers will still be flowing, but we're not going to just dive into all of them,
you
right?
You know what's so interesting about that example you just gave? I go to therapy and I don't know if I've said that before, but I do. Anyways, my therapist made an analogy about emotions and feelings, and he described exactly what Prabhupada just said.
Oh,
this sort of like beautiful meadow or place with a nice river flowing along and you're there observing it. And the emotions that come up, let's say desire, anger, frustration, whatever they might be, we have to get to a place where we can see these emotions passing by, but we don't have to grab them and hold on to them.
Oh, I love that.
And so I think it's so interesting that Prabhupada is saying kind of the same thing here, yeah?
Yeah, right. The rivers are constantly flowing into the ocean, ever being filled, but is always still.
Mm. Yeah, like it's happening, but you don't have to like...
Right, right.
Hold on to, you can remain in your peace and in your knowledge of who you are.
I love that.
Yeah.
I also heard something similar about like, we should picture ourselves as the mountain that has many, like we are the mountain, even though many different seasons pass over the mountain. It rains, it's sunny, but we are the steady mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another example is like someone who feels deep contentment on whatever comes and goes, seeing everything as part of the play of the divine.
The play of the divine. That's beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. This is a stage.
All the world's a stage. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Text 54.
Yeah.
Shama Sangeeta.
Yes. Krishna says, one who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me.
What a beautiful, like, rose-colored glasses perspective.
Yeah.
This is the goal.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we can all picture days, no? We felt this way, like, life is right. The world is beautiful. Krishna is wonderful.
Definitely.
Can I read it one more time?
Yeah. Yes, please.
Krishna says, one who is thus transcendentally situated at once, realizes the supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed towards every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me.
That is also a deep state of surrender, because you are completely trusting that whatever's meant for you will come your way.
Yeah.
Like you're trusting Krishna in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's real.
I mean, I think at that point, if you have all of those qualities mastered, you can have that sense of surrender fully, right?
Yeah. So
it's a process again. It's a process. And what a beautiful outcome to get to, right?
Yeah.
There's one part of the purport, Prabhupada says, since God is full, a living entity who is engaged in God's service in Krishna consciousness becomes also full in himself. He is just like a river cleansed of all dirty water. So we're so full by Krishna's joy.
That's really sweet.
I think there are days you feel that way.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
When you're doing the right service or you're chanting the right way. I feel that a lot during Kartik, actually, when there's like, it's just a different magic in the air.
Yeah.
Everyone's happy. Everyone's just like lighting little lamps and offering it. There is a...
It feels special.
Yeah. It's like you feel like full, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like content and joyful.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah.
Magic moments.
Magic moments. So Kartik, you feel that a lot. Priya, what are times you feel this way?
I don't know that there's like a specific.
Right.
But I do love Kartik. I think Kartik is one of those moments where everyone puts aside a little bit more of whatever's going on outside and dedicates a little more time to Krishna in a collective way that fuels everyone else with energy.
That's an important point, in a collective way, because it's an energy you're putting out there that you feel when it comes together.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's a really, definitely a magical time.
Well said. Very nice.
Very nice. Okay. Text 55, Shamali.
One can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And one is, oh my God, can I start over?
Yes, please.
One can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me, by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God.
Beautiful. Again, it's like that's that end goal, that imagery of what the wonderful final destination is.
Yeah. Prabhupada has a sweet way to call it, which maybe he said it before, but he says, when one is fully conversant with the Krishna science, becomes eligible to enter into the spiritual kingdom, the abode of Krishna. Nice. And I love that. Krishna science.
Oh, Krishna science.
So that's, we just come sweet together, discuss a little Krishna science here.
And then he goes on to say, which I think is just like it's a reassurance for people who may not want to lose themselves. He says, accomplishing this does not mean that one loses their identity.
Right? Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it can feel like, and then what?
Right, right.
Because we are, regardless of our position, still attached to who we innately are, right? So what a beautiful reassurance.
And it's kind of nice. Like, I understand why this is happening at the end, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like the why, like what now? Like what? Like, and I think he's also talking to Arjuna, but he's also talking to us. But like Arjuna's like, okay, I got what I need to do. But then like what after that? And like, who do I need to be? And just like, it's like the what now, you know?
Oh, and then what? Who do I need to be? Say a few more words to me, Krishna, please.
Yeah, like, what do I do after this? Like, what are you doing? Like, are you grabbing dinner later after this war? Let's talk about it. Like, what do I need to, who do I need to become?
Yeah. That's so interesting that he's the only one in the battlefield of Kurukshetra that knows the outcome, you know, because Krishna showed him. So the, what are you doing after? Can we grab dinner? That's very real for Arjuna because he knows he's going to survive it if he engages in the battle.
Yeah.
No one else knows.
Wow.
How, to go fight and not know if this is your last moment on earth.
My gosh.
That's so real.
Well, everyone's constantly doing it. And I don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
Like soldiers.
Yeah.
Oof. It takes a very particular nature to fit that. Wow. This is so beautiful.
It is really beautiful. All right.
Text 56.
Priyadarshini.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Okay. Though engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotee, under my protection, reaches the eternal and imperishable abode by my grace.
Oh, thank God.
Thank God. After the long, long journey, we go crawling back.
Oh, wow.
One more time, Priya.
Though engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotee, under my protection, reaches the eternal and imperishable abode by my grace. Mm. Wow.
I like that he says, although engaged in all kinds of activities, because I am very engaged in all types of activities. But I think we work towards Krishna and we could still potentially reach him.
I just realized earlier I said something like, oh, I don't know if Krishna talks about pure devotees. I think that might be something that we say.
But
he does actually. He does say my pure devotee.
I also love that Krishna is like giving adjectives to his home, right? Where he lives and his shelter, right? He says it's eternal and imperishable. Yeah. Which is really, really nice.
It's also reassuring.
Yes, very reassuring. In a world filled with everything that is so temporary, he says, my abode, where he lives, his crib, the place he hangs out, his protection is eternal and imperishable. That's beautiful.
It is.
And grace is a big factor because we're not going to be able to like just clench everything and get there by our own strength and willpower. Like we put the work in, but we are mercy cases. And Krishna, we just need to pray to him, pray for blessings and, you know, hope in the end that we've done enough.
Mercy cases. Yeah, mercy cases. Yeah. That's really cute.
This is a little bit random, but we were talking about how Abhijit and I were in the car. We were coming back from the temple and we were talking about capitalism and how...
As one does after the temple.
I know, right? And how it's so sad that... Basically, capitalism means that we never have anything that's really, really good quality because they make everything to be breakable so that you
broken, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that you breakable.
Breakable. Yeah, breakable. Sorry.
No, it's good. My English. You make fun of me for saying Fred.
My Espanol, so good. My English, not so good.
Yeah, for making everything so temporary so that we can continuously buy it. And so whenever you were saying it's so nice that Krishna is saying like eternal and imperishable, I was thinking, yeah, there is no guarantee of anything being everlasting in this material world.
Oh, that's so real.
Right? Yeah. So like to know that there is something that will like... You know that there's, we've said this before in the podcast. Sometimes as we get older, we might think like, once I reach this place, I'm going to be happy. Yeah. I'm going to be settled. I'm going to know what's happening and it's all going to be good. Right. And we keep thinking about that.
We're chasing the mirage.
We're chasing some stability that does not completely exist. That's Although we can be peaceful and we can practice Krishna consciousness and we can try all these different things, that level of safety is really kind of only given when you reach Krishna, right? Yeah,
there's and so, no other safety.
Yeah. So it's really like to hear Krishna say, this is eternal and imperishable. It's not going anywhere. Once you get to this place, it's just going to be chill, okay? And you're not going to have to stress anymore. You're going to be chilling. Like this, there's no further thought about it. And that's really, it's almost unimaginable.
Wow. It really does feel so far away.
Yeah. It's really nice to hear.
Yeah.
But it definitely feels, yeah, like very unimaginable. So it's just very sweet, very interesting.
I had a thought about that capitalism thing that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. I was watching this documentary on Netflix called Buy Now, the Shopping Conspiracy.
Okay.
And it's literally about how every corporation has a limit to how long their products last. And they purposely put an end to the lifespan of that product because they want you to consume. And that is so wild.
Yeah.
And it's so, and I watched it and I was like, I want to fight against this. I'm not going to buy anything anymore. You know what I mean? But this verse is so beautiful because it's like, Krishna says, under my protection, like you reach this place that doesn't go away, where everything else in this world is meant to go away.
Mm. Yeah. Can I tell a random fact? There is a light bulb out there that has been on from the moment it was turned on still. Mm-hmm. And I think it's been more than 100 years.
Oh, wow.
And they decided that, oh, this doesn't work because then nobody else will buy more light bulbs because they will work forever.
Yeah.
So technically we could have many nicer things.
Krishna is that light bulb.
Krishna is that light bulb. So yeah, it's just fascinating.
You know what I think is a nice tack on thought when sometimes all of this feels so far away, we can remember, but wait, Krishna is also not just in a distant throne in the sky, but seated in right in our hearts. Mm-hmm. So bring it back to like, but he's here.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get there, but he's here.
Appreciate the here.
Yeah.
While you're getting to the there.
Exactly. Yeah, appreciate the here while you're getting to the there.
Yeah.
He's totally right inside. You can talk to him. You can yell at him. You can talk. You can engage in healthy dialogue. You can write him a strongly worded letter, whatever you need to do.
How are you and Krishna doing lately? This is the third time you mentioned yelling at him.
I'm just saying. I just think that like it's so difficult sometimes. And I think that as long as you're communicating still with a little Krishna in your heart, it's okay. It's going
to
be okay.
I think that's a good point to emphasize because a lot of our listeners might think, how do I develop a personal relationship with Krishna? So what you're saying, Shama, is very useful to give any emotion you're feeling. Whoa, I hit the mic. Give any emotion up to him. Like not just the good, like, oh, thank you, Krishna, for everything. Thank you. No, like you can be real with him. Talk to him. He already knows what you're feeling in your heart.
Yeah. Is there a place where you guys have those conversations? Because mine is in the car.
In the car?
When I'm by myself and I just, there's like a little deity of Krishna that I'm, if it's a good day, then he gets a good conversation. And if it's a bad day, he gets a strongly worded email, you know?
That's
and
so funny.
Because I was by myself in the car. And so like, that's where I have that dialogue with Krishna.
I love that.
My safe area. That was weird. Okay, but what about you guys?
No, it's not weird.
Okay, cool.
It's great. I think either my deities at home, I just give them love. I actually don't complain too much. But Krishna in the temple sometimes gets a little bit of like, what's up? Like, what's going on, man?
No, but where do you talk? So it's the temple and, and your home temple?
Yeah.
Where do you talk to Krishna? Oh, yeah.
Those are kind of the places that I mostly think of.
Yeah, I have my little altar at home. The car, I feel, also is a nice place because you're alone. I don't have a little deity in the car, but that's a great idea to put one there.
Yeah.
I, every night when I lie down in bed, talk to him also as I'm going to bed. I just like kind of cuddle up there and I just start talking.
Yeah. Nice. Well, that's good. That's very good.
This next verse is talking about what we were just saying, right? So like just finding ways to depend on Krishna. So maybe we can read that as our last verse, Shyamasangita, text 57.
Yes, Krishna says, in all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me.
Under his protection.
That's really sweet. He mentioned protection two times, and that makes me feel really safe and cuddly.
Safe and cuddly.
Yeah, it's really nice.
It is like very like parental, like, I've got you. Don't worry. I really have got you.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Prabhupada's like, okay, so sometimes we might not feel that direct connection to Krishna and that direct protection from Krishna. So it's always important to remember that if one gets a bona fide spiritual master and acts according to his direction, then one's perfection of life in Krishna consciousness is guaranteed. Right? So just having a mentor, a guide in this process can also give you that sense of protection and, you know, care, because ultimately Krishna is working through the spiritual master to be there for you.
Right. Right. It's true that sometimes it's easy to feel like, okay, Krishna, where are you? Are you really here guiding and protecting me? Because maybe we're covered over by our own limitations and we can't feel Krishna's presence. So yeah, through a spiritual master, through senior devotees, through people ahead of us, we can feel Krishna's presence through them and Krishna's guidance through their instruction.
Yeah. I think like there's the thing that I always love to say on this podcast is you wake up every morning and you can choose between two emotions, faith or fear. And I think this verse in particular is really honing in on the faith part. And Krishna's literally saying, I got you, you know, always work under my protection. I'm like, I got you. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, just depend upon me.
So sweet. Yeah. I think that's a great place to end.
Beautiful. Yeah.
All right. Please join us next time for chapter 18, text number 58.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Hello, beautiful souls. If you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.